parents and practitioners of education, one and all, I'm delighted to be with you, and Deputy Quinn, I'm delighted to see you here, and to see all of you here, because I know you probably have to make arrangements, it's a busy time of the year for schools, to be here. And I certainly want to affirm, thank and congratulate you for all you are doing. And in case I omit to do what I'm up here to do, I'm very pleased to formally launch Catholic Schools Week and to inaugurate the Catholic Schools Partnership. This partnership represents a timely and forward-looking providential initiative, I would say, between the Conference of Religious of Ireland and the Archbishop's Conference in their mutual service of Catholic education. It's a logical next step towards a unified vision and voice for Catholic education. There's been talking there about the relationships and partnerships. I have to begin, as I begin every Mass, with a confession. And the confession is to a big distraction during the prayer service. Imagine that, Carolyn being distracted during the prayer service. But I was distracted by the little man who was up here. But then I discovered he was up there for a purpose. He was up there to remind me of the national school I went to, because it was built on the land belonging to his great-great-grandfather. So that's the interconnection, that's the confession over. I'm also reminded of the vision of Catholic education when I recall how Archbishop William Crowley became Archbishop of Armagh in 1835, and before that the Archbishop of Armagh didn't venture very far north. But Crowley came north in 1835 and he negotiated a lease with the Earl of Dartry, one of the Dawson family, for the land on which the cathedral, the college and the house are built. But he began by building the school, the college, and then he built the cathedral, and then somebody else built the house. And I think he had his priorities right. He was living that vision of the Catholic school, which we acknowledge and celebrate here today. And that's why I'm delighted to be here today, because you represent so much, and glad to see so many names that I've known in the education sector for so long. And it's right that we should celebrate, and of course not be blind to the shortcomings. I think the Catholic school provides the best opportunity to realise the fourfold purpose of Christian education. I took this out from a different, from an American vision of education. So what is that? What is that fourfold as they see it? To provide an atmosphere in which the gospel message is proclaimed, a community in which Christ is experienced, where service to our brothers and sisters is the norm, and where thanksgiving and worship of God is cultivated. I am particularly concerned that this last aspect of Catholic education can sometimes all too easily be set aside in favour of other priorities. Now, maybe it's not. I was delighted to see the choir here and the first confirmation class praying with us at the back. But in the experience of thanksgiving and worship of God, it's there that we learn most of all, most about ourselves, and about God, and about the meaning and purpose of life. For it's there that we meet Christ, the light of the world to all generations. It's here that we celebrate who we are in Christ. And so I would appeal to you, to all those involved in Catholic education, to encourage making the participation of Catholic children in thanksgiving and the worship of God a key priority. And it said that those who are thankful people are happy people. My hope is that the same attention will always be given to excellence in worship as is given to excellence in academic matters, or indeed, I might add, in sporting matters or debating matters. I sometimes think that if I had spent as much time looking at theology during the 70s as I did at looking at footballers, I might be better prepared for my present job. That's another confession. There are wonderful, and we've seen evidence of it, very and laudable efforts to teach music, elocution, drama in our schools, your schools, our schools. And I wish that pupils would be encouraged more often to place their musical talents, and their speaking talents, and their acting talents at the service of the local community. Of course, you may say you wish that they were invited by the local clergy and the local bishop to offer to receive those talents. Well, it's a two-way process. The Catholic school link prides itself on its links with the family, you've heard about that, and with the local community. This link was a key theme when Catholic Schools Week was first introduced in Northern Ireland. It was introduced to provide an opportunity to showcase, to put on display, to reflect what goes on in the Catholic school, and has been very successful. But it was a parish-led celebration to highlight local Catholic schools. The link between Catholic Schools Week and the parish Sunday liturgy has already been referred to, and it remains a vital part of the Schools Week initiative. And I too congratulate those who have prepared and provided the material. This link ensures that Catholic schools remain close to the source of their life and mission, that is Christ himself and the wider Christian community. We've heard about the link between the school, the home, the family and the parish, the famous three-legged stool. It's vital that our schools also forge link with local organisations, with the GAA and all other organisations, which are in the business of helping the less well-off, the stranger, the needy, the homeless. I was celebrating in the parish last Sunday, and I met there a teacher from the local St. Kieran's High School, Ballygawley, Pastor Canavan, well-known footballer. I said, Pastor, what are you doing for the third world now? Because I was mindful of their what they did last year, they had a wonderful celebration of their outreach to the third world. He said, we're filling a truck with education materials to send to Africa, and we have our pupils involved in that. That's the kind of thing that caused former US Secretary of Education Margaret Spellings to describe Catholic schools as national treasures that must be preserved. Solidarity with the poor always appeals to Irish young people. The reaction to the way they fast and to tragedies like Haiti are proof of this. I have visited many schools where there are magnificent initiatives directed towards Africa, Eastern Europe. I know that many teachers and pupils and parents have supported those, and many have gone there. People have fasted, and again, this is something that's very attractive and praiseworthy about our schools. The John Paul II Awards, introduced in the Diocese of Derry and now in the Diocese of Tremore and Armagh, rewards young people who carry out into their parishes and local communities the practice of what they learn in school, from what they learn from the Catholic ethos of their school. This programme has caught the imagination of hundreds. I was at a presentation in St. Columb's in Derry. There were literally hundreds involved in these schools. It has caught the imagination of pupils and teachers there in these schools and in these diocese. I think it's an imaginative and praiseworthy way of involving people, bridging school and parish to the mutual advantage of both. The vitality of the church is closely linked to the health of its schools. These schools provide a most effective way to evangelise, we've heard this already, and I would say form holy and wholesome men and women who make God known, loved and served. Well, Catholic schools will continue to play a vital part in civic life if they continue to exemplify in an outstanding way how to be better citizens. That is, citizens who are prepared to engage fully in the democratic process and willing to commit themselves to work for the common good. The values of a particular system of education are fundamental to it and to its effectiveness. Time and time again, research confirms that ethos adds value. It adds value to a school. And the Catholic ethos adds value to the educational experience of a child, not just in terms of academic performance, but in terms of the complete development of the human person. In Vision 08, Vision for Catholic Education, it's acknowledged that education, and particularly the role of the Catholic Church in education at all levels, has recently become a topic of intense discussion and debate in our country. One has only to read the newspapers of recent days to realise just how true this is, and of course it will continue to be. And so this week, Catholic Schools Week, coincides this year with a very public escalation in the debate about the future of the Catholic Church in the provision and management of education in this country. And what has been notable in this is the constructive and respectful atmosphere within which the debate has been framed. I think a new maturity has entered the debate. In all but a few instances, the easy caricature of the past has faded. The presumption that the Catholic Church wants to control as many schools as it can, irrespective of parental demands, is increasingly seen to be unfounded. Catholic school wants to serve people, to serve all their needs, after the manner of the one who came to, not to be served, but to serve. Equally, the idea that the only way to accommodate religious and cultural diversity in society is to remove the church completely from state-funded schools is also increasingly seen as unjust, unhelpful, and contrary to the principles of pluralism. This proposition ignores the rights of parents and of children. I'm glad to hear that noted there, that the rights of the child to be educated in the faith, they must be considered also. The right to a faith-based education, a right which is acknowledged in international instruments of human rights. This more realistic and respectful atmosphere clears the grounds for what could be probably one of the most creative and constructive dialogues about the future of education in this country since partition. It's a dialogue in which the Catholic Church is willing to be an enthusiastic and constructive partner, and that's why this conference is so welcome and so timely. It's a dialogue in which, if it is a dialogue based on mutual respect and a genuine concern for the rights of parents and children alike, then there is scope for a wide range of creative and exciting possibilities. But if, on the other hand, the dialogue is simply a Trojan horse for removing faith from schools, whether Catholic, Protestant, Jewish or Muslim faith, then we are destined to remain locked in the unnecessary tensions about the future of education to the detriment of children and society and parents alike. In my opinion, the possibilities for agreement about future models of provision and management would be greatly enhanced if such dialogue was framed around a number of guiding principles. Some of these principles would include acceptance that all those engaged in educational provision, that is, teachers, parents, church and state, and all the sectors, at the moment have a shared commitment to the well-being and complete development of every child in their care. This commitment is fully respected within existing Catholic school provision. To suggest or imply that Catholic schools are unable to be openly Catholic and at the same time accommodate a degree of religious and cultural or ethnic diversity is unfair, and it's not borne out by experience. Similarly, as a faith community, we have to accept that there may be some circumstances in the future whereby the formation of children in the Catholic faith may have to be accommodated other than in a Catholic school in some situations. But we remember that the child has the right to that formation, and the primary responsibility is the responsibility of the parents. More recent Catholic social doctrine speaks of the importance of a shared humanism as the basis for authentic human progress towards a more united and peaceful society. While promoting and defending the rights of faith-based education, we as a church should not create the impression that no room exists for mutual collaboration and sharing with other religious and secular approaches to education on the basis of our shared humanism. Recognition of our shared interest in the dignity and development of every person, opens up new vistas of imagination and possibility, provided there is sufficient trust and mutual respect in the dialogue. For us Catholics, we believe that humanism is completed and perfected in Jesus Christ. It is he who shows us how to be perfectly human. It is he who lights our way to a better world and our eternal future. And it will be precisely in our fidelity to this belief that others will rediscover the freshness of Christian life and the true spirit of a Catholic vision of education. Secondly, critical to this dialogue is the clear recognition that parents have a right to have their children educated in accordance with their philosophical and religious convictions. And consequently, the state has the duty to support this right with public funds. It's important to point out that Catholic parents are taxpayers. It would be helpful if the idea that the church has no right to be involved in the schools which are paid for out of public funds was acknowledged as a complete red herring. But those parents who choose and value the Catholic education vital for their children are taxpayers in exactly the same way as parents who send their children to other types of schools. To disadvantage any group of parents because of their faith would be completely contrary to principles of equality and pluralism. There is no such thing as a value-free school. If parents want the government of the day to define and manage the ethos of their schools, it's important to ask what philosophy of life, of the human person, of the child, would that government of the day promote? What system of values would it seek to promote? Would it be promoting that of the particular party in power? Would it change from government to government? History shows that churches and other organisations have proven themselves able to work effectively with the state in the provision of a wide range of services to society. Catholic schools are uniquely placed to draw on the expertise, the experience and the voluntary involvement, we've heard that discussed already this morning, of thousands of lay faithful in support of their schools and their effective management. Again, I want to thank and congratulate those who serve on those boards of management. They are able to draw from and contribute to the local parish in building up a sense of community, sense of engagement, in a way which no government agency, with all due respect to them, could provide. There are real benefits which Catholic schools bring to the education and formation of these pupils. In the provision of new schools, and this point has already been raised, fair criteria should be implied. Just as it is the right to question the overprovision of Catholic schools relative to perceived demand, it's also right to ask why of all the newly built schools in areas of population growth in Ireland in recent years have been very few Catholic schools. Is it true that in every one of these cases, only a minority of the population was Catholic or wanted a Catholic school? You see, there's no substitute for parental choice. And there has to be an effective way of establishing what parental choice is when a new school is being built. Is it possible to create a more transparent, creative, flexible system which is more sensitive to parental choice and more capable of verifying than that which is being used at the present? The Church is open to diversity of provision. But parents who want Catholic schools have to be treated as fairly and on the same basis as others. They cannot be automatically excluded from consideration when a new school is being built. I suppose one of the curious things about the recent Ipsos MRBI poll in the Irish Times was that in suggesting that a majority of the public wants the Catholic Church to give up its role in the management of primary schools, there was no clear indication as to their preferred alternative. A key factor in the result was the completely justified anger with bishops and religious orders over the findings of the Ryan and Murphy reports. Then what of the implications of the less publicised but very significant criticisms of state-run organisations in the same respect, same reports? There's a real challenge here for the new Catholic Schools Partnership. It's possible that many people are assessing their support for Catholic Church involvement in education not on the basis of their own commitment to church and to Catholic schools, but maybe out of an outdated and stereotyped view of the Catholic schools. It's interesting that in the poll, younger people tended to have a more positive attitude to the involvement of church than those of the middle age. One possible reason for this may be, and you'd be better judges of this than I, may be that most young people attending a Catholic school today have a very positive experience of the Catholic ethos and atmosphere of their school. The emphasis on the love of God and love of neighbour, the importance of concern and respect for others, the experience of reflective prayer and participation in liturgy, mean that the atmosphere of Catholic schools is a far cry from what they were even 20 or 30 years ago. The cold and disturbing images of Catholic education evoked by the reports could not be in more stark contrast to the supportive, positive atmosphere of Catholic schools today. The partnership, the Catholic Schools Partnership, is also uniquely well placed to address another dimension of the current debate. It arises from its stated objective of fostering a deeper awareness that Catholic education is an integral part of the mission of the Church. When people, including a lot of people who are clearly practicing Catholics, speak of wanting the Church out of primary schools or education generally, what perception of church in school, church involvement in schools, do they have? Catholic schools are an outstanding example of lay leadership in the Church. It would be unjust to dismiss this superb work of so many Catholic teachers, principals, volunteers and boards of management because of the terrible failings of some priests, religious and bishops. And so a more detailed and scientific analysis of exactly what is being said here in this poll would be helpful. There is a value in the finding of recent reports. I'm talking about the Murphy and Ryan reports. They are stark reminders to bishops and congregational leaders of the depth of anger and disillusionment caused by the mismanagement of some church leaders, in addition to the profound impact on those abused and who have survived. Yes, stronger systems of inspection and accountability by the state for patrons, boards of management and principals in the application of best practice in safeguarding children would be welcome. It would be a more just and appropriate response to the lack of confidence in patrons than dismissing rights of parents who have faith-based education and impugning the superb work of whole school communities. We are confident that this partnership and the trustee support service in the North will become themselves examples par excellence of lay leadership in the Church. In this way, they will play a key role in restoring confidence of parents and wider society in the commitment of Catholic schools to the highest standards of safeguarding and welfare for every child in their care. And if parental choice is to be the key factor determining demand and provision of education, then Catholic schools today are, I think, well placed to win the support and confidence of parents who want a values-based education for their children. This will be one in which academic excellence is wedded to worship of God, respect for others, service of the needy, building community, and the pursuit of a more just, united, and responsible world. And the efforts of teachers, principals, boards of management, priests and religious in recent years to ensure that Catholic schools are open, happy, stimulating and mutually respectful community environments means we have nothing to fear from a future based on verifiable parental choice. This is what makes the creation of the Catholic Schools Partnership and the Trustee Support Service in the North and the All-Ireland Catholic Education Service such a timely and spirit-led development. And I want to take this opportunity to commend and thank all those who worked so hard to create these new initiatives. The selfless and far-seeing Irish men and women who founded the Irish Teaching Orders, like their European counterparts, while people with the eyes of faith. Illuminated, energized by the light of Christ, they could see the possibilities that others hadn't even dared to imagine. They were fearless and confident in their ability to engage with the circumstances and culture of their time. But the Spirit of the risen Christ continues to empower God's people today with the same charisms and dynamism that helped the generations before us to respond to the needs of their time. That is why the theme of this year's conference, Catholic Schools Week, is so appropriate. In establishing this partnership, we are honouring those who gave their lives, their energy and resources to Catholic education in the past. We stand on their shoulders as we now look to future generations. We have received from them the light of Christ, and we have to pass it on. And for our own part, as parents, teachers, managers and trustees, we must constantly ensure that we too are led by the light of Christ. We can take encouragement from the fact that repeated international surveys confirm the positive impact of the ethos of a Catholic school on the social concern and tolerance of diversity of pupils who attend them. We must also acknowledge, with humility, any gap between our ideals and our practice and seek to address those gaps in a supportive and positive way. We also should remember that the Lord can do much more than we ever ask for or imagine. Father Michael Drum has spoken about he was a teacher, he was called rabbi, and when he was lost, where was he found? Not in the midst of the priests, sitting at the feet of the teachers in the temple, asking them questions and listening to them. It's a great tribute to all teachers, implying that it is indeed a noble profession. Well, today is the feast of St. Thomas Aquinas. We've already heard about him. I think we shouldn't apologise for who we are. In an increasingly diverse culture, the future lies in ensuring that our schools become more authentically Catholic. They do so in terms of the authentic Catholic doctrine which they teach and the environment, the Christian environment which they create. St. Augustine once said, "Christian, behold what you are, become what you see, the body of Christ, beloved of God." And today we ask God to bless all of you and all those who will work to implement the partnership's plan over the next 4 years. We pray that in your work you will help schools to behold what they are and become what they see, the light of Christ, leading and guiding a new generation to life, peace, and healing for a broken world. Thank you.